Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Three times he used the word, "I am ready." He said it to the disciples in the city of Caesarea, "I am ready." He said it to the Romans, believers at the city of Rome, who thought he doesn't want to come to them because he was a Jewish person. He says, "I'm ready to come to you at Rome." He said it to Timothy, his younger brother, before he was ending his ministry here on earth. He said, "I am ready to be offered at the time, because the time is at hand, and my departure out of this scene is coming ahead." He was ready in his ministry to give his life for Yeshua the Messiah. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, we find here the Apostle Paul is really comforting the disciples who were telling him, "Please, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem." And I'm reading this verse again, verse 13. "Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Yeshua.'" He was ready to give his life for the Lord Jesus the Messiah. What a commitment. What an example we have in Shaul, in Paul's life and Paul's character as he move ahead. And so notice that now in verse 14, the brethren have recognized that they cannot say anything anymore. In verse 14, "When he would not be persuaded, we stopped," we ceased. And what we said, "The will of the Lord be done." And you know, it was really, when you really think about it, it was the will of the Lord for the apostle, for Paul, to experience this persecution, because the Lord said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. And I will show him how great thing he must suffer for my name's sake." This is in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. He was chosen as a vessel to suffer for the name. And you know what? Because he went to Jerusalem faithfully in accordance with the will of the Lord, he succeeded to present the message to many also among his brethren. And he ended up being taken to Rome. He ended up to present the message of the gospel before kings. Before many, he presented the message of the messiahship of Yeshua, even though he lost his life at the end. But nevertheless, it was the will of the Lord. And that's why the brethren in verse 14 said, "The will of the Lord be done." And the will of the Lord have actually ultimately been done. And so, we concluded here in Caesarea, with the second city that he stopped. He stopped in Tyre, present-day Tsoar, which is in Lebanon. He stopped in Caesarea, which in Hebrew we call Caesarea. And now, finally, he is going to arrive to the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to notice what happened in the city of Jerusalem. This is from verse 15 to 26 of Acts chapter 21. We find, first of all, in verse 15, 16, and 17, the arrival to Jerusalem. "After those days, we took up our carriages. We went to Jerusalem, And notice he used the word, we went up to Jerusalem. Every time you go to Israel, to Jerusalem, you're always going up. Not only up physically and literally, because it is, the winding roads on the way to the city of Jerusalem, it's always up. When you go away from Jerusalem, you always go down. You remember the story in Luke chapter 10, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Here the Apostle Paul go up from Caesarea, from the shores of Israel, all the way up to the city of Jerusalem. And there we read, we went with a certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and they brought with them one by the name of Menasson of Cyprus, and all disciples with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So here he is traveling from Caesarea to Jerusalem. There was an older person that came along with them by the name of Menasson. And this person may have very well be one of those early believers in the city of Jerusalem, the early individuals who have accepted the Messiah. And apparently he was the one with all disciples that they were supposed to lodge with him there. And they arrived to Jerusalem, verse 17, and the brethren received him gladly. Notice that even though he was preaching to the Gentile world, the brothers and sisters in the city of Jerusalem have received him. They were very glad to have Shaul, Paul, in their midst. They were happy. But notice, brothers and sisters, what happened there. Because Paul, what did he do in verse 18 and 19? He began to tell them of all the events that happened to him over the years of missionary journey. Verses 18 and 19, it says that the following day, Paul went with us unto Yaakov, unto James. This James is the half-brother of Yeshua the Messiah. They went perhaps to his house. He had been one of those pillars of the congregation, of the assembly in Jerusalem. And they went to his house perhaps, and the elders were gathered there together. We don't find the apostles here, because maybe the apostles were doing the day, preaching the message. They were all over. But there was the elders of the local assembly, of the local church in Jerusalem, gathering together around the Lord and hearing what Paul shared with them about his experiences over the years of his missionary journeys. And Paul was very particular. In verse 19, he rehearsed before them point by point how the Lord had used him in the missionary journey. When we had saluted them, he says, he, this is Paul, declared, the word should be rehearsed. Paul rehearsed particularly what thing God wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Notice, he doesn't say, I'm rehearsing what I have done. No, he says what God had wrought. It's not my ministry. It is God's ministry. I'm merely a vessel that the Lord used me in the ministry, but it is what God have done as I was serving him in that ministry among the Gentiles. And I can imagine that he was sharing with them first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, how many Gentiles became believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And you know, sharing what the Lord have used him in the ministry was such a precious thing to hear by the brothers in the city of Jerusalem. They have enjoyed it. They were satisfied to hear that many from among the Gentiles became believers, part of the church, of the assembly. But then notice, brothers and sisters, the appreciation of those believers, because it says in verse 20, when they heard this, they glorified the Lord. The elders at James' place, hearing the messages and the stories that Paul shared with them, they glorified the Lord. And now, in return, they shared with Shaul, Paul, about the things that were happening here in Israel. Here, and look what he's saying to them. They were saying to him now in verse 20b, the believers there, they began to tell him, look at this, they said, brother, See thou, brother, how many thousands of Jewish people there are which believe, and they are zealous of the law. Now, Paul told them his story about thousands who became believers from among the Gentiles. Now, in turn, James and the elders telling Paul, Shaul, about the thousands of Jewish people who became believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Now, this is very precious. Actually, if you remember, brothers and sisters, when we studied the book of Acts, the church was not even born as yet. Before the Spirit of God came upon them, we read in the Bible that there were only about 120 believers in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. But then as time went on, the Holy Spirit of God came and formed the body of Messiah. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we find out that another 3,000 people became believers in Yeshua the Messiah after the preaching of Peter. And as time went on, Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, an additional 5,000 people became believers in Yeshua the Messiah in the early church. That is even before the preaching to the nations of the world. And now look at this, when we read these verses, especially in verse 20, he says, how many thousands of the Jews which are believe? They believe in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Now the word for thousands here is really not merely thousands. If you, the Greek word, and I made a point, the Greek word is myriads. And the word for myriads in Scripture is really ten of thousands. The same Greek word is used in many other passages in the Scriptures. Hebrews 12 verse 22, Jude and verse 14, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 2. This is the word myriads. It means tens of thousands of believers. Apparently, in the early church, there were not only 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Jewish believers. Apparently, there were tens of thousands who became believers in Yeshua, the Messiah. Maybe 20, 30, 40, I do not know. I'm just using the Greek here, the word myrios, meaning revavot in Hebrew, means tens of thousands. You know, today, unfortunately, when we look in among our Jewish community, there are many who already became believers in the Messiah, even in this present day, but we don't see the tens of thousands. Maybe today in the land of Israel, there is about 7, 8, 9, 10,000 maybe believers in the land today, and there are thousands elsewhere around the world. But when you think about it, and the early century of the ministry of the Lord, which began in Jerusalem and in Judea and then in Samaria, there were so many who became believers in the person of Yeshua. They have acknowledged him as the Messiah. Now, remember, they were still in the transitional period. And so the struggle is whether they should keep the law or not to keep the law. Understanding of the present day dispensation of the church age, it was a struggle that they have gone through, and we still go through this today. Many of the Jewish believers, we have struggles with what should we do, what should we keep, what we should not keep. Should we keep the law? Should we not keep the law? Should we keep kosher? Should we not keep kosher? Should we do certain things or not in our Jewish culture and teaching that we have from the Word of God? Should we circumcise our children or should we not? The struggles is going on. And the questioning is rising up among our Jewish brethren, even today. But the elders of Jerusalem and James told to Paul, we are so thankful that you tell us about the many among the Gentiles who believe in Yeshua, in Jesus, the Messiah. And we are glorifying the Lord for what you have done. But Paul, let us also tell you what happened here in our city, in our land. There were many thousands of our own Jewish brethren which are believed, and they are all, look at this, zealous of the law. Apparently, because remember, the church was in its infancy. Those Jewish believers apparently were still kind of following the law of Moses and following through because it is a transitional period. And of course, we know from Scripture that the Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believed. So obviously, they understood that they must believe in the Messiah, but some were struggling with what we should keep and what we should not keep. And so look what is happening here in the next verses. In verse 21, the importance of the Jewish believers were informed that the Apostle Paul came there and they heard some rumors about this Jewish person by the name of Shaul Paul. We read in verse 21, and they are informed of you, Paul, that you teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, that was not true. Apparently, some of the Jewish believers who actually sought to be more or less legalistics, we read of them in Galatians, we read of them in Acts chapter 15, they accused Paul and they were telling others, you know what Paul does? He telling the Gentiles to forsake Moses. He's telling other Jewish people not to go after the customs of circumcision and also not to walk after the customs. Three things they were accusing Paul. And apparently they were spreading it among those believers in the city of Jerusalem and perhaps even among the unbelievers there, unbelievers Jewish people. And you know, the word for forsaking in the Greek is the word apostasy. It's coming from that word apostasia, to fall away, to defect. In other words, they were really saying that Paul teaching to depart from what Moses says, to depart from circumcision which Abraham had received, to depart from walking after the customs of the elders of the people of Israel. Now, is it true or is it false? Now, please bear with me for a moment. Turn back to Acts chapter 16, and we first of all find that Paul had circumcised Timothy, who was a Jewish man. His mother was Jewish, though his father was Greek. Paul went ahead and he circumcised Timothy. Notice in Acts 16, we read in verse 3, him would Paul, this is Timothy, have to go forth with him, and he took and he circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was Greek. Here is the Apostle Paul taking Timothy, and he was older already. He was no longer an 8 days old, but he circumcised him for the benefit and to reach out his Jewish brethren. He didn't have to. It was not a binding command under the present day dispensation for the Jewish believers in Yeshua the Messiah, but he did so in order to seek to reach his brethren and to not violate the conscience of those that have trouble with it. Notice another verse. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for a moment. I think it is important to take a note of this. Here is, we find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talking to the married and so on. He commended them and then he was speaking various messages to the people at Corinth. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandment of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. You see, he never told to anybody to stop to be circumcised. In fact, the opposite. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. He didn't say to the Jewish people, you got to be now uncircumcised and don't anymore circumcise your children because you believe in Yeshua. It is on your own liberty. You have this liberty before the Lord. But don't force it on others. Don't demand it on others because we are not in the period of time of the law. We are under the present dispensation of the church age. Here's one more verse, please. Bear with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here you can see that Apostle Paul is not whatever he was accused of. You can see that in his life it was not so. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 20. He's writing to the Corinthians, he says, unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Messiah, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Listen to this. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now you see, the Apostle Paul in his ministry was always a person that subjected himself to the will of God. He never sought to draw Jewish people to tell them, forsake this and forsake this, but he also taught them that all the keeping of the law of Moses, they could not do so because they're going to fail in doing so, but that will never save them. They will never make them right with God on keeping laws. They need the grace of God through the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And so there were those who were spreading these rumors about Paul. They were saying that he teach the Gentile to forsake Moses, that they should not circumcise their children, and they should not walk after the custom. By the way, nowhere in the Bible were the Gentiles commanded to be circumcised. Their circumcision were given to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Hebrews, to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. So if a Jewish person wants to circumcise his children, he's at liberty to circumcise his children. But if he doesn't want, he's at liberty not to, because he's not under the binding of the law. No more. He's at liberty. In my case, by the way, all my sons have been circumcised. I knew I would not have to, but they were circumcised. I felt it in my own conscience. Being Jewish boys, I wanted to circumcise them, but they didn't have to be circumcised. And it's the same thing with regard to keeping certain feasts and holidays and Shabbat and so on. We are at liberty to do so, but it is not binding under the law in this present day dispensation. We have to be very sensitive and careful here. But the law itself was not given to the Gentile world. It was given to the nation of Israel. And therefore, we must always understand this. So there are some Jewish people who keep Shabbat, who keep kosher. If they are at liberty to do so, they should have full liberty to do so as before the Lord. Now, quickly, I want to conclude here. Now, what's happened here in verses 22 to 24, here is the advice of the elders of Jerusalem to Paul. Verse 22, they said to him, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you come. Do therefore this, they said to him, that we say to you, we have four men here, which have vow on them, take them, purify yourself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walk orderly and keepeth the law. And in fact, they told him, listen, we have four people here, Jewish people who are having a vow. This is most likely the Nazarite vow, the Nazir, mentioned in Numbers chapter 6, which we read about this earlier. So they say, listen, there are those Nazarite vows. At the end of the vow, they're supposed to shave their heads. And therefore they said to him, you know, you take those four, you pay their charges, and you go and you show in Jerusalem that you really are following those things, that you are not against it. Well, we find out in verse 25, it says, listen, that when it comes to the Gentiles, he says, we didn't expect from them to keep the law. We told them, number one, that they should abstain from things offered to idols. Verse 25 at the end. We told them that they should abstain from blood. We told the Gentile believer that they should be abstaining from strangled, things that are strangled. And we told them that they should abstain from fornication. That's to the Gentile believers. But for you, they said to Paul, you show by going with those four men, you show that you are really walking orderly. So we find out what the Apostle Paul does. You can see that he had liberty He wanted to reach his brethren. And in verse 26, and with this I'm concluding, he followed through with their advice. Verse 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself with them, entering into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the day of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now, obviously, the offering, the sacrifices have already have ended. There was no need anymore for them to sacrifice. But the offering here is the charges that they had to pay in the temple for those that finished the vow of the Nazarite. He didn't need to offer sacrifices because to offer a sacrifice will mean that he is no longer acknowledging the finished work of the Messiah. But what he did do, he came along with these four men, he purified himself with them, he entered into the temple, and he signified the accomplishment of the day of the purification for those who have had the Nazarite vows. And brothers and sisters, you can just see here in the life of Paul as he finally arrived to Jerusalem, the concern of the believers in Tyre, the concern of the believers in Caesarea, the concern of the believers in Jerusalem. Everyone has concern for the Apostle Paul. And you see how the Apostle Paul, by God's grace, has succeeded to minister to those people and to tell them, listen, I'm willing to lay down my life for our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So with this, we conclude those verses 1 to 26. And in the will of the Lord, we'll continue in our chapter and we'll see what happened to Paul when he arrived into the temple and how he ultimately had been captured and had been taken to the city of Rome. Well, may the Lord bless his word and may the Lord encourage us this day.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.